First reading is from the book of Acts, chapter 2, verses 1 through 29. Now, Pentecost was a Jewish harvest festival that marked the 50th day after Passover. Luke portrays the Holy Spirit being poured out upon the disciples before the gathered and astonished people assembled in Jerusalem for the festival. Filled with the Spirit, the disciples were able to witness to the power of Christ's resurrection. When the day of Pentecost had come, the apostles were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. In our own languages we hear them speaking about God's deeds and power. All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, 'What does this mean?' But others sneered and said, 'They are filled with new wine.' But Jesus, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, 'Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk, as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heavens above, and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.'" The word of the Lord. Now we read responsively from the Psalms, starting with 104, 24 to 34, 35b. "How manifold are your works, O Lord! In wisdom you have made them all. The earth is full of your creatures. There go the ships to and fro, and Leviathan, which you made for the sport of it. You give it to them, they gather it, you open your hand, and they are filled with good things. You send forth your Spirit, and they are created, and so you renew the face of the earth. You look at the earth and it trembles. You touch the mountains and they smoke. May these words of mine please God. I will rejoice in the Lord.
The word of the Lord.
The word of the Lord.
gospel this morning is from John chapter 20, starting at the 19th verse. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Happy Pentecost! In the Lutheran Church, we do not talk a lot about the Holy Spirit, not in comparison with other Christian denominations. Instead, we like to give center stage to God through God's work through Jesus Christ. Sure, the Holy Spirit comes up, but not in the same way as God, the Creator, the Sustainer, and Jesus, the Son. But this is the Holy Spirit's day, the day of Pentecost, one of the few times in the church year where we focus on the presence and the action of the Holy Spirit. Now, I am completely a Holy Spirit gal, through and through. I don't know what that means for a Lutheran, but it's true. It's the way that I make sense of the way that God reaches through the ages to stir the hearts of the most unlikely of disciples and leads generation after generation to follow in the way of Jesus. The work of the Spirit is a gift that we seldom discuss, largely, I think, because the Holy Spirit seems so abstract. Even stories like today's reading from Acts and from the Gospel of John, we strain to understand this Spirit and all its power and its mystery. In this way, we're not all that different from that first crowd that gathered on that very first day of Pentecost. As we heard today from the reading from Acts, as the Spirit descended upon all those who were present, there was bewilderment. The people were amazed and astonished, and they asked each other, "What does this mean?" It must have been an overwhelming experience, this infusion of the Holy Spirit. As the Spirit gave this diverse crowd the ability to speak different languages and to understand them all, each was overwhelmed by the bewildering experience of tongues of fire coming among them and resting upon each. They at once were filled with words to speak, and yet I imagine that words could scarcely describe what they were experiencing that day. Inexplicably, the Holy Spirit had come upon them, people from all parts of the earth, those from the region and visitors from far away. Somehow, some way, these diverse people were united by the power of the Holy Spirit, and yet they received gifts that made them distinct. Their divisions fell away, while their differences were affirmed. I find it interesting that in this moment of power and inspiration and bewilderment, that the question kept coming up. What does this mean? What could this possibly mean? If this happened today, isn't that the question that we would be asking as well? That's a common question whenever the Holy Spirit is involved. I think our human brains just cannot fully appreciate or understand the work of the Holy Spirit. Barbara Brown Taylor, who is a well-known preacher, has said that the Holy Spirit is something we trust, not something we understand. And yet we are curious creatures who want to understand. We want to make sense of it all. We want God to come near. Isn't that part of our journey as people who follow in the way of Jesus? We yearn for that closeness with God that came to those people on that day of Pentecost. We know that Jesus left behind this advocate, this spirit that came that day. And it is that same spirit that meets us here today. But in the story, you'll notice that there are those that day who sneered. There are those who sneered and said, everyone must be drunk. They must be filled with wine. This must be the explanation we're looking for. Isn't that just like us humans? To try to explain away something that happened like that, something that is truly unexplainable? While we are creatures who love a good mystery, we do like it when the end of the story is clear and can be tied up in a neat bow, leaving no strings, nothing unexplained, nothing left hanging. Some of us are more bothered than others. The famous composer and musician Amadeus Mozart could not stand to hear an incomplete song. I don't know about you, Brad. I'm the same way. Reportedly, his children would taunt him by playing an incomplete scale on the piano, and then they would leave, only to see him rush into the room and finish the scale. He was the same way when there was a dissonant chord played or an incomplete song hanging. He just couldn't stand it. He had to rush into the room and complete it. Kind of like an unsolved mystery that offers no closure, no resolution. When Jesus departed this earth, he left us an advocate. This formless, shapeless spirit cannot be seen except when in action. The Spirit remains such a mystery to us. We profess to believe in this Holy Spirit whose presence we invite into this worship space week after week. We invite this Holy Spirit into our homes, into our work, at times of play. We invite the same Spirit into our relationships, and we ask for healing and for guidance, for peace. It is the same Spirit who showed up on the day of Pentecost and filled the people there with confusion and awe. Shouldn't this terrify us just a little? That we start worship by saying, let's breathe in the Holy Spirit? My goodness, what a risk that is. My spouse often reminds me, buckle up, because the Holy Spirit is taking us on an unbelievable ride. That's right. The Spirit of God promises to surprise us, to move us out of our comfort zones. So when we invite the Holy Spirit into our midst, we ought to buckle up and hold on tightly, because the Holy Spirit can, in a moment, change everything. So are we, all of us, ready for that? What kind of trust would that require of us, to trust the Holy Spirit with this church, to trust the Holy Spirit with our lives? Because it's true, the Holy Spirit will act, and she will act in ways that will shock and surprise us. The Spirit will act in ways that may cause us to be afraid too. The Spirit will act in ways that will challenge us from the inside out. We must ask then, how is the Holy Spirit surprising us, moving us, changing us? How is it changing you individually and as a community who follows Jesus? We don't often talk about the power of the Holy Spirit, and I wonder if it is because we are a little afraid. Barbara Brown Taylor says, we don't keep the Spirit in the back room because she is shy, but because she is dangerous. The Holy Spirit is dangerous. The Spirit has a way of renewing, of bestowing gifts, of clearing away the excess like a good garage sale and bringing forth new life. And it's not necessarily the kind of growth that we might even anticipate or even welcome. The Spirit brings gifts to all, but not always gifts of our own choosing. This gift is truly of God, undeserved, unearned, unanticipated, pure gift. The Holy Spirit will act. That is a fact. Will we trust the dangerous, disruptive presence of the Holy Spirit? Will these young people who are graduating and going out on their own, will they trust? Will we?